We're glowing with joy and with excitement because of this message tonight. Because it's not a message of gloom, and it's not a message of doom. And I'd like to just lay a little platform here, just a basis for these thoughts, letting you know that God does not plan for the church to be defeated. And I believe that God touched you, nudged your heart, and told you to say that his church is going through. Because that's exactly what's going to happen. There are people who tell us the church is going under. It's going down. But it isn't. It isn't. God's church is going through. God doesn't have any other plan except for it to go through. It's super bad. Hallelujah. You know that you are the smallest unit there is of the church. You're the individual. You are a complete church inside it, within you. You're complete in him. Praise God. And I feel it's a real joy, a real pleasure to be able to ensure tonight this message. When I first received it, I didn't know how much to say. I didn't know whether to talk to anybody about it. I talked to my wife a little bit. I said, I just don't know. People are skeptical. I don't want to raise barriers. But I do want to. I don't want to fail God in bringing a truth and a word that comes to him. And I how many of you know, I really fought with myself before I finally felt that I could announce this and let you know that I would bring this message. And really, I didn't know just for sure how much of it, or because I might go back to let you know what I'm talking about. 3 weeks ago tonight, I was awakened. I up in the shoulder. And it kind of startled me. So I sat up in bed. And I heard this voice speaking to me, which turned out to be a messenger from heaven. I wasn't dreaming. It wasn't a vision. It was something that was very, very real. In fact, he spoke so loudly, I was sure that he was going to wake up my wife, and I wouldn't have minded if he did. In fact, I asked him if he would converse with her. My dog comes in our room once in a while, once you get to mount her and sleeps beside the bed, and Tony's interested in everything the angel had to say. And put up her head in the bed. She was right beside me. I could feel her head just turning every which way as he was speaking, and I'd talk back. Well, it was a good. It sounded a little real strong. I mentioned to some people my credibility is at stake in what I'm telling you tonight. But my credibility doesn't amount to very much anyhow. And God's message is important. And he had something where he wanted me to bring to you. I wasn't completely certain as to how much to give it, since this conversation lasted for 2 solid hours. gone on to various truths of the Word of God that were so real, going on to look at the unfolding plan of God for the world and for human life, and bringing me just warm feelings from God's own heart as to how he feels about people. And here, God just loves people so much. He's a lot more interested in people than he is procedure. He loves them. And I thought it was so beautiful this morning when Peter mentioned about his father before he knew anything about the Bible. He knew about God, what God had done in his heart. And I think it wouldn't be a bad idea if a lot of people could reverse words again and have an experience with God, which is your whole being, rather than what you may learn. There are people today who are allowing the Word of God to replace God. God doesn't want that to happen. He wants to be first and foremost. He wants to be a living reality to us. Well, all of this information and the many, many different directions, there was a count fellow too that the Lord emphasized to me. But I wasn't totally sure as to the some of the avenue to bring this to you until last night. Last night, he came again with some beautiful truths. He doesn't contradict himself. God doesn't contradict himself. My wife asked me this morning if we'd have any believer last night. Because she said she didn't hear anything. She was aware of the real warmth of God's presence in the room. Praise God. I don't know why I'm getting tears in my eyes, feeling like crying, because I'm unusually happy tonight. But there is something so awesome. Now, I suppose the leader responsibility in sharing tonight. Hello, God. Thank you. Because I realize that every person in this building is here by divine appointment. You are here as a living evidence that what God told me is true. You're here because you care about pleasing God. You're concerned about this world. You're concerned about your family. You're concerned about your own relationship with God. I realize that today we're living in a beautiful, beautiful day. A great awakening throughout the world. Our brother spoke of the revival in Romania. And there are revivals going on around the world. There are so many surprises that we're seeing. We're seeing God move without a little out of help from people. He's just doing it. We think of the of men like Eldridge Cleaver, Little Richard, George Foreman, many of you were here because God really cared for you. I think of the tremendous impact that PTL is making around the world. I think of 700 Club. All of these inroads that God is making into the societies of the world until they come born again. That used to be a phrase that people would scratch their head and say, what does that mean? Now, it's a word that is used everywhere by people who know what it means and people who don't know what it means. But it is something that has been accepted. But along with this great revival, there are renewed attacks against the work of God by the enemy. There are attacks by satanic forces at the very heart of the society as we know it today, the harmony. The harmony, as I've mentioned many times, is the closest thing there is on earth to God's heart. And in an effort to get at God and to hurt God, satanic forces are attacking the home. And homes are hurting, oftentimes not knowing why. A husband will come along and tell his wife, I'm tired of the responsibilities of home. I seem to have raised my feelings. I don't know what's the matter. I'm restless. Would it be all right if, would you give me a divorce? Wives are coming home saying, I'm so tired of these little kids. I haven't had a real opportunity to have a fling. Would it be all right with you if we found a home somewhere to put our children in and we just get separated? But no, nothing's happening. The enemy is attacking the home because of little and nearest thing on earth to God's heart. Now, this attack is more than just an attack on the home. These enemies of God are following a practice that began a long, long time ago. Yet, at every time when you find a new chapter about to be opened in God's great work, you find increased satanic activity. When Moses was born, and the plan of God began to unfold that the children of Israel would be brought out of the land of Egypt, God prepared a small child, and his mother recognized him as being a very special child. And Satan, learning that this had happened, made an effort to. He can't really grind. I want you to know that. He picks up loose information here and there, but Satan cannot read your mind. That's one reason it's not a good idea to tell him how bad you feel when he slaps you. It's not a good idea to say ouch when he hits you. He has no way of knowing he hits you if you don't. He cannot read your mind. If he could have read minds, well, wouldn't he have gone over to Miriam or some of the other people and picked their minds to find out where Moses was? He didn't know. So he said, put it in the heart of the king. Let's kill every child below a certain age so that we can kill this one that is going to have a definite part in God's plan in unfolding his plan. Then I think of another time. And don't just in fun, but incidentally, that were made real to me through this visit. I'm going to come to tell you a little bit more about that in a few moments. But these are some things that he reminded me of. The time when Israel was in Babylon, and the enemy, knowing that the time was about to come for a great deliverance for Israel. And the enemy is working. Worked through the heart of a man named Mordecai. Not Mordecai, not the human. Mordecai was there representing God. But there was a decree that went out that all of the Jews were to be slain. There was going to be a day when maybe they were going to be killed and come fight back. The enemy, knowing the great deliverance that God had in mind, wanted again to spoil God's plan. Then you remember when Jesus was born and the greatest chapter of all time began to open and fold again. The satanic forces said, we've got to stop him. God alone said, we've got to stop this deliverer. But we don't know where he is. So they inquired, where is he? Where is he going to be bound? They found him out in the general area, but he wasn't around. So they were sending word because that same satanic force was in operation. They killed all the little babies again. If they could have read somebody's mind, all they would have had to do could be to go to the shepherd. Pick their mind. Grill the Ryan's men and read them, their mind. But they weren't telling. That the enemy was attacking in order to hurt God's plan. In our day, there's a beautiful long chapter unfolding. And God is bringing into focus the families of the peoples of the earth. He's writing in will of it, a principle that he put into operation years ago. God's plan of salvation. It was not a single plan for just a single person. He saves single people. But when he saves them, he writes the names of those and their family in his book. Somebody says, that's strange theology. That's false theology. That's false doctrine. No, it isn't. God himself run and started this. He gave him his beautiful plan that he gave to Moses. He took a plan he has in heaven. He gave Moses the plan, the tabernacle. And he said, I want the name of every head of the house. Their name included in the gate of the tabernacle. The silver sockets are going to be made out of the shekels of their redemption going to be melted, and the gates are going to hang on the very fact that God has included all in his plan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God cares for the family. God has plans for the family. Somebody says, well, I thought you had to give your heart to the Lord yourself in order to be saved. You do. Because you have a reservation out here on an airplane to fly to Salt Lake City or California or some other place. Doesn't mean that you're on the plane. It doesn't mean you're there. Lord, have to confirm that reservation. Lord, have to do the simple thing of your part and say, hey, let's confirm it. But God has learned something so special today in working with families. God loves the families. He loves the families so much. Do you remember when Rahab saved the spies there as they went into Jericho? And the spies, by inspiration of God, said, Rahab, call all of your family here to this house. And they'll all be saved. He worked not only through man, but he worked through the one person that he had contact with in that home. Rahab got all of her family there, and they were all saved because God cared for the family. God's plan is a family plan. Now, God has something very beautiful that he's doing today. God's plan for the family does not stop when people's forms and their bodies are put in the ground. No. All of the beauties of home, the family, and the ties, and those good things about your family are eternal. And you're going to have joys such as you've never dreamed of. The blight of this life is going to be absent. Those children of yours are going to have that warm place in your heart. And there's going to be a bond that is beautiful. Hallelujah. For God loves the family so much. It doesn't stop here. Those are your own questions that we may have regarding this sort of questions that people had in Jesus' time. But Jesus said, don't worry yourself over my business. You take care of what I give you to do, and let me take care of what I have to do. You'll take care of things. But you know the enemy wants to spoil God's plan again by hurling in some heavy artillery into the homes, causing husbands to lose feeling for their wives, causing that restlessness, causing things to fall apart, causing children to feel like they hate their parents. They don't want anything to do with them. They don't even want to talk to them. Causing fathers and mothers not to want to talk to the children. And you're the man's family. In order to hurt God's plan. You believe that? An enemy has done it. But God says he's not going to get away with it. God. Hallelujah. That is, he's trying to make you pretty miserable if you want to go your own way. And follow that cradle. Hallelujah. One of the things that the angel let me know was such a beautiful experience was that God always has a backup plan. If somebody conks out on him, says, well, so God, I'm not interested. God says, well, hey, it's going to get nasty. I'll call in somebody else. Do it. That's what happened with Esther. You remember when Mordecai came to her and prophetically said, Esther, who knows but what God put you right here just for this time to get a job done. But you can choose if you want to, Esther, and be really blessed of God. You can be confident that because God has a great deliverance planned. But he's not going to. His deliverance is not going to fail if you decide not to do it. God will raise up deliverance from another source, but he's going to raise it up. He let me know that event that he has decreed have to happen. When he decrees it, an irreversible force is set in motion that nothing can stop. It has to happen. People that he has included in his unfolding plan are not irreversibly stuck to that plan unless they want to be, because God has predestinated the event, but for individuals he has foreordained, given him a spot. But he said, I will hold you to it, but if you link arms with me, there will be joys and happiness in it. for I have foreordained you to be a partner with me in the great work that I'm doing. Praise God. Praise God forever. So I wanted to draw your attention to this fact that God is at work in this day. The enemy is at work. There are two opposing parties at work. But God has already decreed that he's the winner. Praise God forever. God has placed this message on my heart for families some little time ago, and so I've been preaching on it. So I'm this angel. And people have been praying for the families. We put out a plea, pray that God would do something, answer prayer for the families. So one of the first things this angel said was, God has sent me to you with a message from his arm to tell you that the prayers of the people have been answered. And I thought, well, doesn't that mean you're already all saved? Prayer's been answered? No. Because God, to answer that prayer, doesn't know him, that he's going to violate the free right of choice that he's given people. But it means that he's going to do everything necessary to bring them to a point where it would be easy to make that choice. Him. I have heard people say, well, it's a good thing to make it real hard for people to come to God. That way they'll appreciate it. God wants to make it real easy to come and real hard to get away. And you know that? He loves you so much. He's not trying to pound something to you. He doesn't have to. He loves you. His whole desire is for you. He wants you. Praise God. He's not looking for some reason to cast you away. He's looking for every reason right out of you. Praise God. So this angel said that God had sent him with this message to bring to you tonight. And I'm going to bring this message and show you certain things that he told me about. But you can stop praying now. Those of you who have laid your loved ones out in sincerity and in faith before God, you can quit praying for them now. You can quit begging God for them because God has already answered your prayer. He said you can start praising God now that he was on the job and that he has released forces that would bring about circumstances that would make it hard for these people to resist. Yeah. Hallelujah. So this angel told me then that I am here right now leading a great band of angels in order to clear the way, in order to scatter the enemies, to move away the roadblocks, to add motivation, to let people know that the heart of God is warm toward them. Hallelujah. 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 He told me many things, but last night, honey, he spoke with me. When he appeared to Zechariah, he came with the same message. He said, your prayer is heard. Same kind of message, exactly, in the 13th chapter of Luke 1. When he said, the things of Naomi, to tell the people God's feeling about them and what his normal desire and his real purpose was. Now, there are a lot of people that feel that God's purpose in the world today is to really hop on you if you make a mistake. And to make you pay all the rest of your life for every failure. Because he's got to book that take. Because you make so many failures every day, and all he's writing down is your failures. So those of you that haven't been here before, hear the tongue of God, let me look in some books in heaven. I saw Abraham's book, and I saw Sarah's book, and I couldn't find the things I was looking for that are recorded in Genesis. I saw where Abraham had helped people that were traveling. I saw where he had been kind to others, and where he had shown real faith and real confidence, and God could trust him. But I couldn't find where he had staggered at God's promise because he was an old man when God said, "You're going to have a child." Couldn't find several other things. I couldn't find anything about him telling the king to take his wife and lying to him, saying that she was his sister. That wasn't in there. So I asked God, "God, how come these things aren't there? Do you have another book?" God said, "No." But he said, "I don't record failure. I'm not interested in people's failures."
Praise God forevermore. Praise God.
So the message that God brought to me last night through this angel was a little picture of his heart, what he's doing today. And the angel enlarged on this verse. He told me where it was found. But he enlarged on it. He told me that God was interested in restoring homes into the kind of a unit that would be. He was interested, he said, in taking in restoring communication between the children and the father and the mother, and breaking down barriers of hatred so that the teenagers and the kids could talk to their dad and enjoy a good chat. They could meet buddies. They could have a wonderful family relationship. God is so interested. He knows that he formed the home. He made the home before he made the church. Did you know that? And so he abides there. And he said, I want that same wonderful unity and that recognition of myself to be there in the home that people expect to feel in the church. I want the fathers to feel the hurts of their kids. I want them to know how that when the enemy attacks, they can come and find a strong arm there that they can lean on. I want the mother's hearts to be open, filled with compassion for the kids. And the angel told me about these things. That's beautiful. I already knew that God was interested in the families, but this is even better than what I thought. Praise God. Then he said that God's purpose, God's desire, the thing that he wants to accomplish in all that he's doing is to reach the rebellious children. He's wanting to turn the heart of fathers and mothers toward their children. Then he said, I want to take those rebellious children, those who are disobedient, and I want to bring them to a point of knowing how complete my forgiveness really is. I want them to know what it means to know that there's not one thing on the record up there in heaven. That when I forgive, I not only forget the thing that I have forgiven, but I forget that I had even forgiven. So when you come to God next time, you say, "Hey, God, this is a, I know I hate to keep coming. God, I did this thing 20 times now, and you forgive me 20 times. Will you do it 21? God will have to look at you and say, "What are you talking about? I don't have any record of that. Nothing in my memory about that. As far as I'm concerned, the first time you came. Did you know that
That is the kind of forgiveness that God has. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want them to know the joy of justification. I've heard many messages on how what a beautiful thing it is that God would justify the godly people. And I think it's so wonderful that godly people are justified, don't you? It is. But God goes a step further, and he said, I want you to carry that message that I am ready to justify the ungodly. Can you buy that? God would want to justify the ungodly? I'll tell you, the ungodly really need it. Because there's so many things they need. Why? The word justify means to count them just as though it had never happened. Sin had never happened. Just as though they'd never been ungodly. I want the young people today to know, because of the ensnarement of the devil, the attacks of the devil, I want them to know how complete that justification really is. I want them to know it. I want them to get to go into their mind, into their heart, into their whole being. I want them to be able to look up into my face and know that they don't have to hang their head and be ashamed. But when I see them as a first-class member of my family. Praise God. Thanks to the next thing, the fourth thing that is on God's heart that he wants to do is to get his people ready for a great day that's coming. Hallelujah. I got excited about this one. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. He told me that I could find a little brief of this message in the 17th verse of Luke 1. So I got my Bible out this morning to read it, to see if it really says it the way he said it there. And lo and behold, he said it that way. This is the way God feels about people. This is what he wants to do. It's not sometimes our concept of God is at all. Listen to it. This was a time of another great unfolding of his chapter, and and by the power of his Spirit, this is what he wanted. Speaking about John the Baptist now and the anointing of the Spirit and how he was going to go out and do God's work. And here it is. He shall go before him in the Spirit and the power of Elias to turn the heart of the fathers to the children. Hallelujah. It's right there, right where he said it was. And he said, and the disobedient, the rebellious, he was talking about, enlarged on this, to the wisdom of the just, to let them know experimentally what being justified really means. Praise God. And then to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, what a message. What a message. That's what he wants to do. That's why he's here. That's why you're here today. Tonight, you're not here by accident. You're here because God brought you here. He wanted you to know that he wasn't your enemy, but he's your friend. That he's not wanting to hurt you, but he wanted to help you. Praise God. Praise God forever. Then he reminded me of something that happened over in Acts, the 27th chapter, where Paul was shipwrecked. And I'll tell you, this was exciting when I read about this in that 27th chapter of Acts. There was a terrible storm that came up and all hope was gone. You read that in the 20th verse. They gave up despair that they would even be saved. All hope was taken away. But in verse 22, Paul said, I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. How do I know this? Paul said, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, who as I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. God has some plans unfolding, and he's not going to allow anything like a storm to stop his plan. Thou must be brought before Caesar. This is what God called him for, you know. Lo, God hath given thee all of them that sail with thee. And to you, Dad, God is saying the same thing. Hey, get on the stick. Mom, Dad, God's given all those that are sailing with you. Praise God. Then he said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. I got good news for you. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. God. Hallelujah. It shall be just the way the angel said it. Glory be to God. What the angel said here to me was that God isn't interested in death, in taking away our life. He's interested in life. He's interested in helping us, not hurting us. I am more interested in death than life. I have a desire to help, not to hurt. And he told them to stay by. Now, a lot of these people, they didn't believe Paul. They said, man, this guy's had hallucinations too many days since he'd been in the storm here, you know. And they'd seen guys lose their minds before in storms. And so they said, we can't believe this guy. We're out here where we can kind of hear the ground under the ship, which sounded down. And so with the guys throwing some anchors overboard, they threw a boat over, and they were going to get in the boat. But Paul said, you better obey. God has plans to save you, but he won't do it unless by your choice. But he said it here, I'm going to help you with a choice. Now, I'm not just going to let you do what you want to do and throw your life away. So he told the centurion, he said, cut the rope before those guys can get in the boat. Let's help them make up their mind. So the boat fell into the water, and then the big wind came up and blew the ship into a mud bank, and it stuck fast. God had a plan. This angel that spoke with me said that he had land a host of angels in there at that time to make sure that all of those people got to the shore. I said to the angel, I said, they were a pretty rough bunch of characters, though. These people were prisoners. They were murderers. They were the lowest kind. It was better maybe if they did drown. God had other plans for them. And he sent a whole host of angels there. And they took the back end of the ship and twisted it off about 2 seconds' time, broke it up in little pieces so that everybody could get a piece to hang on to. And then they made sure that they had a good motivation and good first behind them to get them to the shore. Every one of them had a big angel watching them. 276 of them were saved. Great miracle happened because God wants to save. He didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might have life. Praise God forever.
Praise God. Well, I won't go into a long. There's a million more things. Maybe I'll have a chance to work some of them in at a later time. But I want to give you, because I feel that the tools that God is using today, and incidentally, what I'm telling you is the truth. I have to be honest, because this angel that visited me is here in the service tonight, making sure I tell the truth. I will ask him. I said, since you're here, why don't I introduce you to the people and let you give the message to them? But he said he could only do as God would bid. They only follow orders from God. And God evidently didn't bid it. And it might be that you'd be scared to death if you saw an angel standing here talking to you. I don't know what his reason was, but I did ask him to. He said, "Though I can't, you will not give the message to the congregation. I want you to know that I am there." And he's not here alone. He's not here alone. If he'd let a little army of them around, they're here. I just wish somehow we could that. What would you say? Crystallize them or make them visible? I'd like to see what they all look like in here. But there are more angels in here right now than there are people. Hallelujah. Because God has a job to do. Satan is working hard. He's wanting to spoil God's plan. But God said he's not going to get the job done. Praise God. And his work is to scatter the enemies. I think of that verse of scripture over in Numbers where God spoke to Paul, and he said, when I give you the signal that I'm about ready to work, I want you to give the cry, "Rise up, Lord, let your enemies be scattered." God said, I'll tell you when to say it. So when they got ready to move, there were a lot of enemies who looked along the way. Moses gave the signal, "Rise up, Lord, let your enemies be scattered." And then the hosts of heaven would swing into action. They'd whoop out across the area where they were going to be traveling. They'd kill rattlesnakes by the dozen. And any other type of big bug that would bite them, and they'd throw them out of the way. And the bandits that were there and people that could hurt them, they just went ahead and made it easy for Israel to go. You know that the Lord has given the signal. He said to tell you that he's already answered your prayer, and that a host of angels has already come. He's already given out the cry, "Enemies, be scattered. Here comes a band from heaven." Ooh, hallelujah. Those things that have kept you from God, those things that have made it so hard for you, they're clearing out of the way. And you feel so much as you're wondering, how come I feel what I do? Is that something just seemed to happen? What is all this? There's some angels working on you. There's some angels pushing things out of the way because God said, you're highly favored. You're on his favorite list because somebody in your family accepted Jesus. Praise God. At such a joy last night, leading that, praying with a lady. Her daughter, about 15 years old, accepted the Lord just about 3 weeks ago. And this mother called last night. "There's some problems in my home." She called, came to my office, and I had the joy of standing with this girl as we prayed
And God smiled on his mother's life. The angel of God. I told her what was happening, that there were some big angels at work. Praise God. Praise God. So, the message, the bottom line of this is this. That you wives will have husbands that don't know the Lord, and you when you prayed for them. I mean, if you laid them on the altar and you honestly prayed for them, quit pestering your husband to death. Quit preaching at them. They're getting enough preaching and pushing and pulling right now from another source. That big angel that stood there facing Joshua. Joshua said, are you going to be on our side or are you going to be on the other side? Are you with us or are you with our enemy? The angel said, you're wrong on both counts. But I have come as the leader of another army. And we're taking our orders from heaven. How will you? And we were God who is giving those orders. Moses with the needs. And there's an army. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Wherever men and women honestly lay their loved ones out before God. It doesn't mean that God's going to stop only with those families. God is reaching people and drawing them. He has plans for them. But it does mean this, that those of you who have a husband, a wife, a boy, a girl, or a dad, or a grandparent that knows Jesus, you come into a very special list. You know, over in Psalms 89th chapter, you read about that special list. I believe it's about verse 33 to 37, where he said he would make the everlasting covenant with us, even the sure mercies of David. And he then tells what the sure mercies are. That if your children drift away from me, they're going to get in trouble. They're going to be beaten with stripes, with rods. They're going to really have a rough time. But nevertheless, because I made a promise to you, my loving kindness will I not take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. He's going to stay right on you. Praise the name of the Lord. I wouldn't ask this angel to identify himself or to give any credentials. I didn't feel like I had to. But he wanted to do it anyway. So he said to set your mind at ease as to the authenticity of this, to erase any doubt from your mind, I want to give you some scripture references where I am referred to in God's Word, and it's settled there. Well, I have not the slightest idea what was found in those scripture references that he gave me. But he told me what was there. He said that his function was in the unfolding of God's plan. And there was a chapter, the fullness of time came to bring it about. And so he gave me a number of scriptures. I'll just mention the first one he gave me was in Zechariah chapter 1 and verse 12. And this angel had met me before. I wasn't aware of who he was or that he was an angel. In talking to me about the fullness of time, the unfolding of time. But he said, you can read about me there, where I let God know that the time was up for the 70 years that Israel was in bondage in Babylon. The time was up. And I asked God, I said, God, how long are you going to let the people stay here in Babylon? And the 70-year-old up, and God says, hey, I'm glad you reminded me. Of course, he doesn't need reminding, but, you know, he might just have given the same for our need for help, too. But he said God spoke favorably to him, and he said, this is great. Now I want you to go down and tell the people that I am aware that the 7 years is up. I kept my promise. Go down there and tell them and get ready to lead them out. Oh, hallelujah. He said, well, let me know what happened on the earth before when he was there, but I didn't know this was the same thing. Now he said, you can see what happened on God's eye view. This is what was happening up there before. You saw what was happening in Ezra, the first chapter, where he told Cyrus to get over there and to help repair Jerusalem so that they could go back home and have a place to go. Well, I felt so good when he talked with me. The one thing that amazed me was how old he must have been in order to be way back there. And if he could rewind him, and he'd been that old. And then he talked to me about Israel and the land of Egypt. And he said, I was there, and as the time came, the 400 years was up. Why, he said, I set things in motion. I was there. I'm the angel that was in God's presence. And then really, but we wanted to tie this in with his call for people to surrender to God, because God is for them and wants them. And he said, let me brief you on something that happened that you've fallen from the ground level, and that is at the sacrifice of Jesus, where he bore the sins of the world. When he was made sin for us. And he had seen this from, would you like to see it from God's side? He told you to take me in spirit to where I could actually feel the suffering of Jesus. You know, when you see Jesus as our high priest, coming into God's presence, and his revealing for himself. I couldn't help but I just sobbed and sobbed and sobbed when I saw that, because he had mirrored all over him the filthiness of the whole world, the sins of the past, and the sins of the future, and he came in. It was a lie that God in his planning, the high priest could not come in with even one spot on his garment and to do the priestly sacrifice. But here, his own son came in with a filthy garment. He said, I, at God's command, I took the filthy garment from him. I destroyed them, and I brought a new garment for him, put it on him. And then he said, I took a crown and I put it on his head. And on the crown was written the words, holiness unto the Lord. And then you said, this is your high priest. And the message he's carrying to God the Father for all eternity is this. Father, count all of those people whose sins I carried. Count them holy in your sight. They may not be holy in the eyes of men. There may be a lot of mistakes. There may be a lot of faults and failings. But Jesus said, Father, count them holy in your sight. Oh. underneath. If you're putting your faith in what Jesus has done, then we'll reach out your hand and see, I'll accept what you've done for me. I confirm my reservation. Suddenly, you have identified yourself with the beauty of his holiness. And your sins are gone. How did you live with? And you have a new hope, a new life. You're his. Brand new member of his family. Oh. Hallelujah. I can see battle signals flashing in heaven. I can hear what kind of sound that Moses had learned in his day. And I can hear that cry, "Rise up, Lord. Let your enemies be scattered." And the angels have moved out. And if there was ever a time when you were planning on giving your life to Jesus, now is the time. Because now there's special help, such as there has never been in all of the ages. You'll never have a time as good as tonight to make that stand for God. Forget your pride. Forget these other things that may stand in your way. I know that there may be people who have other types of excuses to make. There may be someone who stand back and say, "I just can't do it," or I don't want to do it. But I've come like these people on that ship for a sailing. And we can get by. We can get in this boat that we cut over the side. There's some that are saying, "I don't need his help." There's still others that say, "Well, I don't want his help." You're rationalizing. You're saying, "No, that cuts me out." I have news for you. This angel told me that there's an angel that are going to be pushing you around. Don't listen to any objections. But you mean here are constraints. They're taking orders from God, and God says, "Forget them." Well, another piece in the ship and says, "There, there's a place of safety. I'll take you to shore. I've given you an escort." Hallelujah. And then Paul tells us in that 13th verse of 1 Corinthians of Hebrews, that are we angels not all ministering spirits sent forth, the ministers that are sent forth to minister, to help those who are going to be giving their lives to God. They're out there to help you. God tells us that we angels are on assignment, and they have an assignment tonight in your name. Is there? It's making the rules of directions. Gideon had an angel come to him, and Gideon objected loudly. He said, "God isn't with me. In fact, it's God's fault that I'm in this trouble." The angel looked away, quiet. Well, as soon as he saw Gideon's lips quit moving, he said, "Now, Gideon, as I was saying, let's get on with this. We got a job to do." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Quit nagging me. You haven't going to be any good. You may be able to resist God, but it's not going to be easy for you to. Because God made a promise to your loved ones, and he said, "I cannot allow my faithfulness to fail." Oh, praise God.
Praise God. Praise God forevermore. Praise God.
Well, I never thought about it a whole lot, but whenever I've heard about Gabriel, I thought he was all he did was play music. Kind of. But I found out that Gabriel is the angel. That whose chief function it is to unfold and to be active in the unfolding of God's plans. He went Daniel, told him what would happen in the end times. He came and appeared to both Elizabeth and Zechariah and told them what would take place. He came to Mary and said, it's about to happen. A new page is about to be opened in the book. I didn't think to ask him about this. I wish I would have. What's he doing down here now? If his job is to bring him to a close one chapter and his history to open another, what's he doing down here? Well, there's some plans, folks. Hallelujah. He cares so much about you, major part of his plans. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Rather things we may not understand, but he said he can know Jesus. You read in Hebrews, the second chapter, he tells all of those things you can know about him. That he's taken your place, that he's made reconciliation. He's taking your hand, one hand, and God's big hand on the other, and he's pulling them together. Oh, hallelujah. So, parents, quit nagging your husbands and the kids. Instead, let them know. Let them know. Oh, God loves you so much. God is working out his plan, his purpose. You just watch. You may not have to say a whole lot about it, because if God can't do it, you sure can. He's already answered your prayer. He's already answered your prayer. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. He's given us the word of reconciliation. That's the message. Yet Jesus was made two for us so we might be made righteousness. Then he's given us the ministry of as they reach out to take their hands and slip it in the hand of the master. Now, right now, I'm going to ask every person in the building to bow their head before the Lord. Father, I thank you for this congregation. I know that you've gone before. And I know that this great angel of your presence that stands in your presence is here tonight. He's recording this service. I felt such a responsibility, God. But I may not have been as clear as I could have been. Father, I did bring them the message you told me to bring them. And I believe you. I believe that every word that is spoken by your servants, the angels, is steadfast, cannot fail. I believe, like Mary, that the thing that he has told me will come to pass. I believe like Paul, who said, it shall be, because of the word that was brought. Hallelujah. And tonight, dear Lord, we're here not by accident. We're here by divine appointment. And as the Holy Spirit tugs at our hearts, and as the angels in their ministry are preparing the way and pushing back the force of darkness from us, I ask that we will enter into a new and a wonderful relationship. Jesus, may the hearts of fathers and mothers be turned toward their children in a new love. May the children's hearts be turned toward their parents in a new love. Well, this is what you want to do. And together, may we be a people prepared for the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Since the Lord didn't seem to make a whole lot of difference, divided the people to those who were already accepted and those who didn't accept, I'm just going to put everybody in one category tonight. I'm going to ask every person in this building that is thankful that God cares this much about them, and you're willing right now to, not only willing, but you're excited. And it's with joy that you reach out and claim your reservation that God has for you. I want you right now, wherever you are, to stand to your feet. Reach both hands up and reach up and just take it from the Lord. Praise God, for he's right here. Just reach out and just take it from him. Up in the balcony, down there. Praise God. Praise God. While you're taking it from the Lord, maybe there's some of your dads who'd like to go talk to one of their sons or daughters that are around somewhere else in the building. Are there some of your kids would like to go put your arms around your mother or your father and just tell them you love them? Oh, it would mean so much to them. Would you like to do it? Oh, God will be pleased. His names will ride with you as you do it. Praise God. Praise God. Lord, we thank you tonight. We thank you tonight for this congregation and the response to you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 We thank you for the choir of angels that right now is singing hallelujah before the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise 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 the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Brother who's standing in the holy presence of God, how somebody would like to be escorted by those angels that God has brought right here to the front. You're not ashamed tonight. You know that God loves you. You know that he's not recording your failure. You know that he's brought you to this point, not by accident, by divine appointment. And tonight, you maybe for the first time, or maybe you've gotten away from God and you're coming home to him tonight because he loves you so much. You know that he's spoken to you. Would you make your way from the balcony and from this auditorium here? I'd like to see this front totally filled with people that have returned to Jesus or have come to Jesus and have accepted their reservation tonight. Let the world know. Let God know. Let the angels know. Let the devil know. Those forces of the enemy, let them know that you've not been ashamed. Please step right out from where we are. Young people, adults, dads, wives that the Lord has spoken to, moms, would you come? Would you stand right here around the front? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God forever. Top.
I had a message that I wanted to share, and it's very important. About Pastor Buck's vision. I had it this morning or this afternoon about 4:00. He said that I should come up here and tell you folks and listen to what he said.
That it was bearing true.
And to also answer his question about what the angel was doing down here. And that message is out of this multitude will come those people serving God that they will do mighty great wonders in the last days for Christ. And to listen to Pastor Buck and to listen to your new heart with God's presence available in you. And the angel is still residing with us and God in his mighty presence.
Praise God. Truly, Lord. Truly, God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
I think about 100 people ought to start running down here. I don't see how in the world we can stay back. God's here in such a terrific way today.
Hallelujah. He'll help you along. Praise God. Praise God. Just get out and just start coming. Praise God. Young people, start coming. Dads and moms, start coming. I feel such a tremendous touch of God tonight in this service. There's a number of family members, people that the Lord has just talked to and made himself very real to this week. I'd like to have you come and live with these that are kneeling here. Would you do it? There's quite a number that the Lord has already. I was going to mention that before this service tonight. God has been nudging people in by angelic power and by the power of His Spirit, and they've accepted Christ. And beautiful experiences. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. They're coming from all over the place. Angels are escorting them right down. Praise God. Praise God forever. Praise God. Tonight could well be the greatest night in the history of your whole life. Dad, mom, tonight something's happening in your heart. Your home is going to be different than it's ever been before, because you're going to feel just like reaching out and taking that young person in your arms and loving them. They're going to feel that love. You're going to feel it return to you, because God loves the home. God's doing something so special in the home today. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus. As people are touching the Lord, as they're feeling that warmth, that love, they're feeling the preparation of the Spirit being prepared for the Lord. I want everyone again just to lift your heart, and in a murmur of praise through this whole building, I want you to talk to Jesus, love Him. And the angels' chorus is going to sing while you're bringing that word of praise, the Master. Oh, Jesus, we love you. Good luck. Praise God. Oh, God. Oh, we love you. Oh, we love you. Oh, we love you. Praise the Lord.
which Lord Jesus. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus.
Hallelujah. The battles have been won right here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord.
Praise the name of the Lord. There's going to be some homes that are made real happy.
Not only these that are here, but also this building, for he is here. The Lord is here.
And his forces that he has brought are here to accomplish a beautiful work. Hallelujah.
God brings to my mind a verse of scripture that I want to conclude with tonight. And that is this. The reason why the sense of urgency today and this heavenly host coming and drawing people and clearing the way and scattering the enemies is this, that men and women are standing in the place of judgment, where judgment is going to strike. And as the angel hastened Lot and his family out of Sodom and Gomorrah, they wanted to stay and linger and say goodbye to some more friends. But the angel said, I won't let you. And the word tells us the angel took Lot and he hastened him. And he said, get going. Led him out. Sodom. And the angels today are hastening because this world is marked for judgment. But God is leading out to a place of safety.
For judgment has already fallen, and that's on Christ.
Hallelujah.
And it will not strike again. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Praise God. I can't think of a better way to bring this service to a close than to join in the chorus that the angels are singing. Hallelujah. 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 We just sing it with both hands raised and let it ring right into the very courts of heaven. Hallelujah.
The name of the Lord forever. Praise God. Praise.